Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What are the chances Bo Nix will be just as good or better than Justin Herbert, Todd?
Justin Herbert is a baller. He plays pretty well. Odds? Let's go 50-50.
Ooh.
50-50 chance. I think he has a good chance of being very good in the short passing game. And if we have the athletes that can make him into explosive plays, I think that's how he catches them. I don't know if he's just like, you know, killing everybody over the top. But according to the statistics, maybe he is.
Maybe.
So, yeah, 50-50.
Yeah. Very different style of player for sure. Like Bo Nix just wants to do all the underneath stuff. And so I think there's a good chance that if he winds up, say he goes and wins a Super Bowl, conversations probably very Brock Purdy-ish. It's like, I don't know. Like he had the other guys are doing all the work. And I think that might make it tough to be the better quarterback in the public's eye. But sometimes being the quarterback just means you're getting the ball to the open receiver and let him go to work. So I think in terms of like who would a coach want, yeah, there's like a 35-40% chance to go with Bo Nix 5 years from now. In terms of will the public say Bo Nix is better than Justin Herbert, Justin Herbert's just a sexier football player. It is what it is. And so that's probably more like 20%.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 50-50, and I'm gonna take that 50-50 too. I'd sign up for that right now because Justin Herbert, you don't really want to talk about it too much in Broncos country. He's a really good quarterback statistically. And he's also good on the field, but like his touchdown to interception ratio, his yards, I think he had more passing yards than anyone's ever had in the NFL his first 2 years in the NFL. So he can do it, but his win-loss record is, I think he has more losses than wins right now at this point in his career, and that's where Bo can really overtake him. And the reason we're talking about this on the mailbag is a question coming from our friend Jersey Bronco, who said, I'm curious how Bo Nix compares to Justin Herbert. F the Chargers, but Herbert seems like a legit top 10 quarterback. I'm curious how he compares, considering they came from the same system and if they had similar critiques to their game because of it. So now getting into the nitty gritty of more how these guys compare, I actually think the fact that they both did come from Oregon, very different players. You look, Justin Herbert has pretty much every physical attribute you could want in a quarterback. I mean, he can run. He's big. He's got a cannon of an arm. He can make any throw you ask of him. That's why people thought John Elway was going to love him so much, is because he's just like, people thought he was a younger John Elway potentially in terms of that style of running where he can scramble, but he can also make plays on the run. Yep. Bo Nix is very different. Bo Nix is a lot more athletic than a Drew Brees. He is going to make more plays with his feet than Drew Brees, but for the most part, he wants to sit in the pocket, win from the pocket. Like Henry said, a lot of short stuff, quick decision maker, where Justin Herbert almost thrives more off of the chaos. He's more of like the Russell Wilson type, except he can win from the pocket more. So they're actually very different guys, too. And then the one piece of difference that I think can really separate Bo is something that Sean Payton pointed to over and over again after drafting Bo. Bo was number one, according to the analytics, at the end of half in the final 2 minutes and at the end of games in the final 2 minutes. Very clutch. In fact, Sean pointed to a time in Oregon where Bo led his team down the field for a game-winning field goal, easy field goal, and the kicker just missed it. So maybe that's why the Broncos didn't draft Oregon's kicker this year. But so he's clutch. He wins. And maybe that's the difference that puts him over the top from Justin Herbert, is Justin Herbert hasn't found that clutch gene yet.
Yeah. I think we need him to be. If the question is, will he be better? We need him to be.
Yeah.
In the AFC West, you know, it's tough matchups all the way around. and we had to have a great quarterback to do that. Not necessarily scared of Gardner Minshew, but I do think that the other two are pretty dang good, so we need them to be good.
Yeah, and even though they both played at Oregon, they played in very, very different offenses, like opposite offenses. Mario Cristobal was the head coach there at the time, so that's all under center, I form. Like that was the big thing with Justin Herbert coming out, very similar to J.J. McCarthy now, is that, well, it wasn't really an offense where he had to do anything. He was just handing the ball off and letting him go, and then you have the bootlegs or whatever else. But big and a strong arm, and I'm not sure how old he was coming out, but I think he was a three-year player, so he would have been 21, 22, whereas Bo Nix is somebody who came out a lot more. So I would say if you're looking for a comparison to Justin Herbert, J.J. McCarthy's kind of that guy, whereas Bo Nix is somebody who's probably more polished, has thrown far more passes in college, comes from less of a pro-style offense in a lot of ways, not every way, but in a lot of ways. So I don't think there's too much there in terms of a comparison.
How about these senior season stats from Bo and from Justin Herbert at Oregon? Like you said, very different offenses. But here's what Justin Herbert did. Played in 14 games, completed 66.8% of his passes, 3,400 passing yards, 32 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 156.8 passer rating. Bo Nix, his senior year, 77% completion. It's almost 10, no, it's over 10% higher. 4,500 yards, over 1,000 yards more than Justin Herbert. 45 touchdowns, almost 10 touchdowns more, and only 3 interceptions and 188.3 passer rating. Statistically, Bo blows Justin Herbert out of the water in their final seasons.
Definitely.
And I think it was, you know, what is he, 6'5", 230 pounds, has a massive arm. That's why he went number 5 overall, and why Bo Nix went number 12 is just the physical differences.
Yep. Justin Herbert, you're looking for John Elway. Bo Nix, you're looking for Drew Brees.
Yep.
Who knows if either will happen, but that's kind of the mold.
100%. And then he goes on to say, I went to MetLife at the Jets draft party and was thanking everyone for the quarterback who out-dueled Mahomes, but lost because the refs couldn't allow the Jets to beat the Chiefs. I really didn't hate a late-round flyer on Zach Wilson. I've watched him for 3 years, and there are flashes and drives where he looks awesome. He will also inevitably throw the dumbest pass or pick ever and cost you the game. He really never had a great team around him. Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson carried that offense all season, but Zach was done zero favors by one of the worst offensive lines I have ever seen. Giving up the equivalent of a 7th rounder for him is such a low-risk, high-reward move. Now, I only need to change the color of my favorite Zach Wilson t-shirt. It could be a merch opportunity. And then he ends it with throwing bombs and banging moms. Much love from Jersey. Is that the tagline for the Broncos' backup quarterback this year?
Yeah, maybe for him. I don't think that's what Bo Nix is doing. I feel like he's a little bit more focused.
He's but got a wife too. Right
I guess
now.
It happened. So I mean, I'm saying, why not?
Very unassuming, coming from BYU and growing up in Utah too. And final comment coming in from our friend Kai Knock. Kyler says, hey boys, the 3rd round pick of Jonah Ellis has me a bit confused. What does he have that should be giving me confidence he's better than Benito, Cooper, or Browning? I'm worried he adds another developmental need to that outside linebacker room with not enough reps for any of them to take advantage of it. Plus, what do we do about Drew Sanders now? He has to go back to inside linebacker, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is why I didn't think you should really draft an edge rusher, is just because you're how are you getting all these guys on the field? Like it's just not possible to give everybody the opportunity you'd like to. I think if I'm in charge of the Broncos, I'm tempted to see what I can get for a Baron Browning or a Jonathan Cooper. But those are all conversations for later on. What does he bring? Well, he's one of 2 Power 5 players last year who had 12 sacks. So the other being Leatu Latu. What he brings is that there's a real chance he shows up and day one is their best pass rusher from the edge. It might be that it's still Baron Browning or maybe Nick Benito. I don't know which way you even go in that competition because there's different styles. But I think by far the most polished, I think Jonah Ellis is. I don't think that there's much conversation about that.
Wait, he's the most polished?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, he has the most moves of any of them in terms of the passing game. Like, in terms of stopping the run, I would take Benito over him in the run game, and Benito it would be the last choice out of the Cooper Browning option. Sure. So he is a little bit different style. He's somebody like Benito will beat you as like a speedy guy around the edge. Jonah Ellis can beat you a bunch of different ways. He's a little bit undersized, so maybe all the big tackles and stuff mean that he isn't as productive. But you know, if Leiatu Latu is a first round pick, it makes sense that a little bit smaller but just as productive version would be a good pick in the third round. So I don't mind the pick. I think it's a really good value. It's just who is going to be on the field for this football team? Nobody really knows.
I mean, if you can get the mayor of Sack Lake City, how do you pass that up?
You see the mayor?
Yeah, of Sack Lake City out there in Utah.
That, we can do better than that here.
No, that's what they called me.
We
can
do better. No, that's what the Utahans came up with. We can do better.
This is the move, and we'll get into it more as the week goes on when we dive into it on our podcast. This is the move that I just scratch my head at the most a little bit here. You're going for the high-end potential, which he had 8 sacks in 4 games last year. Mm-hmm. The burst, the explosion was there. Like you said, the talent was there. Maybe the raw tools are there. But he does, to answer the listener's question, he does kind of just fit in with this group right now. And maybe he doesn't see the field a lot. So you are hoping that he can separate himself at some point. Maybe a trade comes at some point with another one of these guys they have on the roster.
Yeah, I think he's a pass rusher. Everybody else can pass rush, but I think they're predominantly edge players. I think they're great in the run game. They're great at forcing pullers and O-line and back. I feel like he's the most pure edge rusher and may have to develop his, edge blocking ability. So that's what I feel like the difference is.
I think the other part of it is, we all say, just take best player available. Just take the best player available. Just it's so simple. Don't reach for need. Do it. And then when they actually do it, it's like, well, how are you drafting an edge rusher? It's like, well, we said just get the best player on the board. And so I think it makes sense just to add a really good player. But yeah, it's going to – that competition in camp is going to be pretty crazy. I think the easiest way to do it is just say pass rush situations. We've got Benito and Ellis off the edges. And base defense, 3-4 situations, you get Cooper and Browning off the edges. Drew Sanders – You're kind of rotational guy. You're leaving Baron Browning out of your pass rush situation, which I think, 4.5 sacks last year isn't crazy, but he missed so much time. When he's at his best off the edge, he looks like their best guy there. So there's going to be a big competition, and somebody is not going to be happy with the opportunities they get.
Yeah, someone's probably traded for a late round pick right before cut day comes around.
Yep, or even at the trade deadline.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's true. It's true.
At some point, though, probably.
Man, we got an edge rusher competition, quarterback competition. We've got so running much back to look for. Running back, wide receiver. Man, this team's going to have a lot of competition. Hopefully on Sundays as well, but certainly during training camp. Center, they've corner. Got it everywhere. Corner?
Yep.
Wow, every position.
Every position.
And we're going to be here to break linebacker it down. Make sure to stay tuned to the DNVR Broncos podcast and leave your comments for the mailbag on over at thednvr.com on this mailbag. We got a lot of comments starting to roll in, so make sure to leave them there, and we'll answer them next week.